Welcome to an ElmQuest presentation.
Purification of the heart. Love, fear, and tears. Presented by Abdul Bari Yahya. Part 4. Actions of the heart.
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina ma yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to go through some of the lectures. And of course, we spoke about the actions of the heart and from the beginning, and the position of the heart in Islam, and about fear and hope and love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third and the last, I mean the fourth and final lecture, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a combination of both the deed that pertains to the heart, and at the same time pertains to the actions that follow up with the heart. And that is tawbah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I just have a few hadith and also a few hadith and some stories from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and during their time, how they made repent, how they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of mankind, and he himself has already been forgiven his past sins and future sins. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said, "By Allah, indeed I make istighfar and I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day and a night over 70 times." And another riwayat in Sahih Muslim also, he said over 100 times, more than 100 times in a day and night. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the best of mankind, the best of the messengers and the best of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he himself repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this many times. And before we go on, let us reflect, ask ourselves, today, how many times did we say Astaghfirullah wa Atubu Ilayhi? How many times did we say? Since the morning until now. If we ask ourselves, SubhanAllah, we are more in need of repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than anybody. But we don't even do what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that indeed, kullu ibn Adam khata. Everybody commits sins. You know, everybody commits sins, and everybody makes mistakes. Wa khayr al khata'in tawwabun. But the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see a hadith, you know, many hadith that speaks about istighfar and tawbah. So what is the difference between them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hud, وَأَنِ اسْتِغْفَرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. And that you make istighfar to your Lord and then make tawbah to Him. So that if it comes in the same ayah, there must be a difference in meaning. The ulama and the scholars have said, istighfar is what you say with your tongue and what you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do to forgive you. Oh Allah, forgive me, istaghfara. But tawbah, a tawbah, also includes istighfar, but istighfar and then acting upon that istighfar, meaning changing yourselves. So a person can make istighfar and not make tawbah. A person can make istighfar, but he doesn't make tawbah. Because tawbah is to change your actions, to leave the sins that you do and to do better, to do the good deeds and change yourself afterwards, after you say istighfar. If you say istighfar only, it's just with your mouth. And of course, you know, you ask with your heart, and also you ask from inside. But once you start to see the effects of that istighfar, this is when tawbah comes in, when you start to change. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he himself made istighfar. And a lot of the Muslims, you know, a lot of Muslims usually don't make istighfar, but don't make tawbah. And sometimes, the things that prevent a person or makes a person delay the tawbah is usually sometimes the dunya or the shahwa or the dunya or the desires. In a hadith that, you know, I'm sure every one of us have heard before, from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو كان لابن آدم واديان من مال لابتغى واديا ثالثا ولا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا تراب ويتوب الله على من تاب. Listen to this hadith and see what the correlation. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ in this hadith? The meaning of the hadith is, which if the son of Adam were to have two valleys of gold of wealth, he would want a third, and nothing will make him full. Well, nothing will fill him, will fulfill his mouth, and make him stop wanting more, except the dirt, except when he's buried, when he dies. That's the only time he won't want anymore. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ تَابَ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the repentance of those who repent. Accept the tawbah of those who make tawbah. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say this at the end of this ayat concerning the wadi? Because a lot of most people, the reason why they delay the tawbah, delay the repentances, it's because it's the dunya. Because they think, inshallah, when they reach a certain point, then they'll do it. Like some people, they will say, inshallah, after I finish school, then I'll be good. After I get married, then I'll be good. After I get a certain amount of wealth, then I'll make tawbah. After I make all my payments, then I'll change. After so and so and so forth, after I make hajj, and so forth. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after saying that indeed the sons of Adam will never be full, he will keep on wanting more. And so if you think that you, when you want more, okay, when you think you want more, and inshallah once you get that position, then you'll stop, then you're lying to yourself, and you don't really believe in this hadith. Because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is the nature of the son of Adam. So you have to, whatever you want to do, you have to stop right away, stop what you are doing. And don't delay any further, delay the repentance. Because if you keep on, this is how the shaitan does. The shaitan doesn't tell you to say, oh, don't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaitan says, no, he doesn't say, no, don't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if he says, don't repent, you know, everyone knows, no, we need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he delays you. And he tricks you, and he delays. He's just like the prayer. You know, a person's used to praying. The shaitan, when he comes, he doesn't just say, no, don't pray at all. He says, oh, just delay the prayer. Wait until you finish this. Wait until the football game's over. Or wait until, so-and-so comes home. Or he always thinks of something to delay you, delay your prayer. So he takes it one step at a time. So the same way, the delaying itself, of course, is, from the shaitan. He delays you from doing good deeds in hopes that you will stop doing it altogether in the end. But that's how he starts off with. And a person, of course, during these times, a lot of the times, the times that we are living in right now, we commit so many sins, and there are so many sins around that we don't really see them as sins anymore. We don't see them as something big, something great. That's why Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, in his time, this is his time, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, صلى الله عليه وسلم in the time of the tabi'in. He said, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْمَلُونَ أَعْمَالَ هِيَ أَدَقُّ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ. He said, you guys do, all of you, meaning during his time, all of you, do deeds, you commit sins that in your eyes is thinner or smaller or lighter than a strand of hair. That you think it's just it's as small as a strand of hair or even smaller. كُنَّا نُعُدُّهَا عَلَى أَحْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ. We used to consider that these deeds that you consider that it's like a strand of hair, as light as a strand of hair, as being great sins. Mubiqat means sins that will destroy you. Muhlikat means sins that will destroy. So this is during the time of who? Time of Anas ibn Malik. The companions, the Sahaba were still here. And how, what would Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu say if he came and lived in our time? And how we look at sins. Subhanallah. This is his time. You know, a lot of people, sometimes I speak about the television, the TV, and how it affects people and how it changes, you know, people's perceptions and it, you know, it's very, how bad it is, in other words. And a lot of people, some people, they say, Subhanallah, you know, this just, it's not really, you know, it's not real life. I mean, it's just a picture. It's just a picture that you see. So it's not the same as looking at a woman. You know, looking at a woman. It's not the same as looking at a woman. Because, you know, there's no way that person will, for example, let's say if he looks at a woman, maybe there's a chance that he'll commit zina. Because, you know, he can. But, you know, with the TV, what can you do? Right? So, you know, people have said that, Subhanallah. It's not, I mean, I've heard this, I've heard all these things. This is what they say. They say, it's not the same as looking at a woman. I said, Subhanallah, if it's not the same, you know, if it's not the same, you know, in other words, he's saying, you know, it doesn't really affect your desires and your shahwa. I said, Subhanallah, if that was the case, you know, all the pornography stores would be closed. Right? If that was the case, all the pornography stores would be closed. You know, because if it didn't affect people's, you know. So it's the same, you know, people think that just because it's on TV, that you can, it's okay. It's just the news. We're just watching the news. Subhanallah, who's giving the news? And you know, one time, you know, my teachers, mashallah, they're always telling me, when the first time, when television first came to Saudi Arabia, I like these stories because they're, mashallah, you know, because the people are so simple. And the way they understood. There was a family, you know, this is the first time they had a TV and they saw the TV. And, you know, the family stood in front of the TV and this is the first time, imagine, they've never seen the TV before. Okay. And, you know, they hear about the TV, of course, and the family gathers around and they turn on the TV and they see. And of course, you know, they're in the house, their houses. The women are in their houses. And of course, when they're in their houses, they don't wear hijab, they don't wear anything. You know, just like normal, I mean, they wear clothes, but they don't wear any hijab or, you know, they don't wear the niqab or anything like that, like they would if they were outside because everybody's family. And so when they turn on the TV, the first thing that they saw was a man. And of course, this man is not mahram to them. So all the women, they went to get the hijab. Subhanallah. There's a man there. So they went to put on their hijab because they think that the man on the TV can see them. La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. So this is, but you know, this is also one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Day of Judgment will not come until a fitna will enter every house of the Arabs. Every Arab house. A fitna. A fitna is a trial. And some of the scholars have mentioned, you know, this fitna that enters everybody's house. What's this fitna that enters everybody's house? It's that TV. It's that TV. And just like I spoke about yesterday, I mentioned about those things, about the TV and how it affects. And it's actually, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, just to repeat, amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment is the taqarrub al-aswaq. Al-aswaq, meaning the suq, the markets will come closer to you. You know, the markets will come very close. And of course, the closest, the greatest market, of course, is what is it? You think it's the internet, but it's not. You know, it's the TV. Because what are they trying to do to you? They're always trying to sell to you. The only reason why you can watch that football game for free is because they have because people buy stuff. Right? And everybody has a TV. You know, most of the people have the TV. So, and you know what the market is? The market is the worst place in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most beloved place in the sight of Allah is the masajid, the house of Allah. And the most dreaded and hateful place in the sight of Allah is the aswaq, the market. And we're bringing the worst place, the place that the shaitan loves the most, we're putting it right into our houses. How closer can the market get? After that, you just call 1-800 number and 3 monthly payments, you got everything coming to you, inshallah. Subhanallah. Sadaqallahu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a lot of people, they just sit down and watch TV and think it's the news. And imagine if the companions here, innakum lata'amaluna amala, you do deeds, commit sins that in your eyes is nothing, like a strand of hair. But we used to consider during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as things that will destroy you. Things that will destroy you. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنْهُ قَاعِدًا تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ أَنْ يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. Indeed, Ibn Mas'ud said, indeed the mu'min sees his sin as if he's standing under a mountain that he's afraid that the mountain will fall upon him, will fall upon him. This is how the mu'min, the believer, but in al-fajr, but the person who's always used to committing sins, he sees his sins just like a dhubab. Dhubab is a fly that just, you know, goes by his nose and he just flicks it away just like that and it goes away. He thinks the sin is like that. So that's why, you know, a lot of people, you know, the mu'min, the believer, when they commit a sin, they feel the heat and they don't feel comfortable at all. And they want to do whatever they can to cleanse themselves from that. So that's why there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim about Al-Ghamidiyya. This is a woman who committed zina. And she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, Ya Rasulullah, inni zanaytu fatahhirni. Indeed, I've committed adultery. So cleanse me, O Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, he didn't want to listen to her and told her to go away. And then the next day she came again. Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want to hear it. But she continually came. Nobody forced her, nobody told her to come. But she came. Because when she committed that sin, she felt that heat and that guilt inside that she couldn't stand it anymore. She has to clean herself. She has to clean herself. Even if it means losing her life, it doesn't matter. As long as I can cleanse myself from that sin, it doesn't matter. My life doesn't mean anything. But that sin cannot stay with me. It has to go. Because if a had is done upon a person, then of course he will be cleansed of that sin. That person will be cleansed from that sin. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, lima turuddani? Why did you send me back? Do you want me to send me back just like you said? Ma'iz, Ma'iz is the other person who was also he was also stoned, and he said, "For wallahi inni hubla." He said, "I am already pregnant. I'm already pregnant." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her to go back and then deliver your baby and then come back to me. And then when she came back, of course, she wrapped her baby. When after she delivered her baby, she came back and she held the baby. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go back and breastfeed him for 2 years. Breastfeed him after you're finished, then come back to me. Subhanallah. She's always doing this by herself. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her to go back to, after she had breastfed her baby, to come back. And after he's able, of course, to eat food. And then when she came back again, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered her to be stoned. And Khalid ibn Walid, and also the another guy, Umar ibn Khattab, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered her to be stoned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for her, And then Umar ibn Khattab said, he said, Ya Rasulullah, rajamtaha thumma tusalli alayha. You know, meaning she's a person who had committed adultery and you're going to pray for her. You're going to pray for her. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qataba tawba la qussimat bayna sab'ina min ahli al-Madina wasi'athum. See, she has made a repentance that if you were to spread out her repentance among 70 people, of 70 of the people of Medina, it would be enough for them. I mean, one tawbah for that one person, it would be enough for 70 people, her tawbah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهَلْ وَجَدْتَ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلْ جَادَتْ بِنَفْسِهَا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Do you find anything more great than somebody who has, given up her life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because she had that, you know, a lot of us, when we commit sins, we don't feel it. And the reason we don't feel it is because our hearts are all black. And we don't feel it. So the people who commit sins, we're committing sins every single day. And we don't even repent from our sins. You know. And then when we do repent, our repentance needs repentance. We don't repent. And when we do repent, we need to repent because our repentance is not correct. Because our repentance is just playing around. We're just joking. It's like we're playing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, you know, this is how it is, you know, these days. But you know, you have to do a lot of the good deeds to purify your hearts. And once you purify your hearts, you see the little sins start becoming, you start to realize that it is, you really can't stand. You feel just like this woman, that there's a heat inside, it's like there's a fire burning when you have the sin within you. And you can't stand it unless you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're always afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept your repentance. So this is, of course, this is after we purify and cleanse our heart of, you know, of the sins. And at the same time, we purify our hearts by remembering Allah and reading the Qur'an. Because, you know, the Qur'an is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to know how much sins you have, then compare yourself with the Qur'an. How much do you spend reading the Qur'an? Because the Qur'an and sins do not mix. If you're not reading in the Qur'an, that means you probably have a lot of sins. And so force yourself to read the Qur'an, and inshallah, and keep in consistently in your prayer. And these, inshallah, will purify your heart. And if as soon as you commit sins, more sins, these sins prevent you from doing good deeds, prevent you from reading the Qur'an, and prevent you from remembering the hadith, and prevent you from remembering knowledge. Like, you know, Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahmatullahu alayhi, he mentioned, you know, in his, when he mentioned, shakawtu ala waki'a su'a hifzi, I complained to waki'a, my bad memory, fa'arshadini ila tark al-ma'asi, so he told me to leave the ma'asi, leave the sins. Fa qala inna ilmu Allahi nurun, indeed the knowledge of Allah is nur, wa nuru Allahi la yu'ta lil-asi, and the nur of Allah, the knowledge of Allah is nur, is light. And the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not given to the sinners. But the knowledge of Allah, the Qur'an and the Sunnah, does not mix with these sins. So the less you have, the more you have the other one. If you have more sins, then it'll push away the knowledge and Qur'an. But if you have less, and of course you have, the less sins you have, then the more light and the more nur, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have. As with anything, a tawbah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are conditions in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, in order to have our repentance be accepted, there are conditions in which must be fulfilled. And the scholars, of course, some of them mention there are three conditions, others mention there are four. And actually, there are five conditions if you really look at it and look at it carefully. The first condition of which is al-iqla' an adh-dhanb fawran. I mean, the first condition for the acceptance of a repentance is that you leave whatever you're doing, you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave the sin that you are doing. For example, if a person is trying to repent from smoking or drinking alcohol, he must stop drinking alcohol. And then inshallah after that, and then he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he can't, you know, a person can't be also in a state of sin all the time and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, because that would just be like just jesting or just joking or just mocking. And, you know, it's very dangerous, of course, you know, you mock there. Sometimes, even the scholars have mentioned, the scholars of Madhab Abu Hanifa, they've mentioned that if a person drinks alcohol, you know, if a person drinks, you know, like wine or liquor or alcohol, and he drinks it, of course he gets a sin. If he drinks it and says Bismillah and drinks it, he's a non-Muslim. It's a kafir, because he's mocking, playing around with the religion. You know, you said Bismillah, you drink alcohol, subhanAllah. So, you know, when a person does something, when he wants to repent, of course, you have to leave that sin. And you can't be continuing with that sin, and at the same time, and then ask repentance from Allah subhanAllah, and you can continue at the same time, you're still doing the particular sin. And the second one is, an-nadam ala mafat, means you are regretful, and you admit that that is a sin. Some people, sometimes, you know, they say, inshallah, I'll repent from riba, but I don't think it's right. Anyway, I think it's okay. I say, inshallah, astaghfirullah, but I think it's right. It's not a problem. That's not permissible. And subhanAllah, some people say, you know, astaghfirullah, but I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's nothing bad. Some people say that certain sins, I don't think that's bad. I mean, I think it's correct. I mean, it's okay in the situation that we're in, but astaghfirullah. You know, and they don't leave it. They don't feel that it's a sin. They don't feel any of the, you know, regretfulness or any sorrow whatsoever what they're doing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An-nadam tawbah." Part of regretfulness is tawbah, to be regretful when you make tawbah. And number three, al-azmu ala adam al-awda, that you make full conviction that you won't return to that particular sin. You know, you make full conviction in your heart, truly, sincerely, that you won't return. But sometimes we're weak, and sometimes we do return to that sin. But you have to make that conviction, and sincerely, that you won't return. That you won't return to that particular sin. And after we do that, inshallah, after you have, you know, these are the three sins, the three conditions that are between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, if it's between us and humans and other Muslims or other humans, then we have to return that particular right. For example, if a person steals something, he can't repent from it unless he returns that particular item or pays that particular person back. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that particular person unless the other person whom he has hurt or has done to or stolen from has forgiven him first. So that's the fourth condition, if it's between us and a servant. And we know one of the most difficult things to repent from is backbiting. Backbiting, because when a person, for example, commits a sin between him and Allah, you know, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his repentance. But if a person commits a sin or backbites another brother or another person, then it's very difficult because you owe that person. You've done something, you've harmed the other brother, the other person. And, you know, it's difficult for you to come sometimes to speak to the other person. Sometimes you can't. So that's why from the beginning, this is a very dangerous sin to fall into. There's backbiting, speaking about another brother. And we're tired, we do a lot of things, we do a lot of good deeds, we pray and we give zakat and we go make hajj, and we spend a lot of money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know, a lot of us, we do that, but we give it to other people. You know, we give our deeds to other people because we're always backbiting other people. And we're always speaking about other people. And of course the fifth condition for the acceptance of a repentance is that you repent before the time of tawbah is over, which is before you die, and also before the sun rises from the west. Before the sun rises from the west. Because if the sun rises from the west, then in that time everybody will become Muslim. Everybody will know that Islam is a true religion. And everybody will know that the day of judgment is coming. So everybody will repent, but it's too late. It's too late once the sun rises from the west and goes back to the east. And you know, if you look I was searching through the internet for scientific, you know, ways of how this could happen. I read an article just a few days ago. Now if you go through Google and you put like polar changes or polar magnetic field change. And they mentioned that in the one of the articles scientifically, they said that the polar magnetic field changes, and it can change any time. It can change any time. Meaning the north, a magnet, it has positive and negative attraction and, you know, attraction. So a magnet, if you push positive with positive, it will immediately flip upside down. it'll push the other one, it'll spin. So the magnetic field changes. And if you read the article, this is the non-Muslim speaking. They said it's possible and it's going to happen, but they don't know how long and when. They said it could happen anytime, that the earth all of a sudden changes its magnetic field and it just flips backward, upside down. So when that happens, what happens? When the sun is spinning this way, now you're going to spin the opposite. Now you're still spinning that way. So the sun will be, instead of rising from the east, it will be from the west. And the non-Muslims said this can happen anytime. And even some of the scholars have mentioned that one of the first signs of the Day of Judgment is not the Dajjal. It isn't the coming of Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam. It's the changing of, it's the rising from the west. The sun rising from the west instead of from the east. So it can happen anytime. And they said, but then how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept people's tawbah if, you know, later on, you know, during the time of Isa and later on, they say, the scholars have mentioned that it's because when that happens, everybody wants to become Muslim. And everybody becomes Muslim, and everybody becomes good, but it will not be accepted from them when that happens. Why will everyone become Muslim? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only person who predicted that. And how can he know all of that? So when that happens, everyone will say, Subhanallah. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is right. Islam is the correct religion. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Everyone come to the masjid. It's too late, brothers. It's too late. Allah will not accept it. But then afterwards, when the next generation comes, people start forgetting. People start forgetting, and then their acceptance of the deeds will come back to normal, just like as it is before. So this is what some of the scholars have mentioned, that maybe the rising from the west, the sun rising from the west, will be the first major sign of the Day of Judgment. So, you know, it can happen anytime. It can happen anytime. When that happens, your tawbah is not accepted anymore. Whoever has believed, whoever has been praying all those times, inshallah will benefit them. But then the people, inshallah, return back. It's too late. You know, even the non-Muslims, when they see that, they realize, oh, the only person who predicted it was the Prophet Muhammad. Islam must be the correct religion. And they say, Islam is the correct religion. But it's too late. Because it's not iman anymore. It's not belief anymore. You've seen it with your own eyes. Now, even if I told you, okay, don't believe in that. How can you not believe in that? I already saw it. So there's no benefit in believing, and you know, there's no more iman. It's not called iman anymore. You saw it. Even if I told you don't believe, you still couldn't do it. So that's not iman. So the iman is when you believe what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi said before all those things. So this is, we must make tawbah, repentant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before any of these things happen. And of course, one of the things that we can do to help us when we make tawbah, as I mentioned, you know, when we mentioned that tawbah, of course, is the difference between tawbah and istighfar is istighfar you say with your mouth. And tawbah is you change it with your actions. You're changing with your actions. So make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change yourselves. And one of the ways that you can tell if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your repentance is if you have changed or not afterwards. If you know, if you make astaghfirullah and then you still haven't changed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't accepted your tawbah, hasn't accepted your istighfar, your repentance. So once you're able to change yourself, change your lifestyle, leave the sins, then inshallah, this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted our repentance, has accepted our deed, and is pleased with us, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'd just like to end it right now. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we've learned. And also we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawbah, give us tawfiq to make tawbah to Him. And day and night, and to pray to Him, Allah subhanahu to Him, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as we have met tonight together, that we will meet again, inshallah, in Jannatul Firdaus with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the companions and all those who are salihin and mujahideen, and those who fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also those righteous people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and has given, has favored over all the other people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to increase our iman and to give us, you know, al barakah and blessing in all our time, and to learn the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can know what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's the most important thing. And this is what, once you know what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what doesn't please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the path to paradise, inshallah, the path of knowledge, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
You've reached the conclusion of this CD. Take the opportunity to evaluate yourself by going to ilmquest.org, where you will find a short quiz on the content of this presentation. That's www.ilmquest.org.
Here are a few selections from the titles at ilmquest.org.
Predestination, presented by Suhaib Hassan.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. We have created the man and we know what his nafs is whispering. وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِنْ مُعَمَّرٍ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمْرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Whatever a female carries and whatever she delivers, إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ, except with his knowledge. Any person who is given a life, any person whose life is decreased, that is in a book written. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. That is something very, very easy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first stage is the knowledge of Allah, al-ilm. When we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has estimated everything, our taqdeer, how many years this person is going to live in this world, how many years or how many time he is going to breathe. Because if you speak about the year, no, that is not good. Because Hijra year is less than Christian year. So this is why we don't speak in the language of year, but in the language of breathing. How many times a person has to breathe in this life? That is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the knowledge. So there is a difference between something which is dictated upon you.
Brotherhood, the missing ingredient, presented by Yasir Qazi.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ. Three things, whoever has them, وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. He will find the sweetness of faith. That he, the first one, that he loves Allah and His Messenger more than anything else. The second one, that he loves a person only for the sake of Allah. This is the second of the three. That he loves a person only for the sake of Allah. And the third, that he hates to return to kufr, just like he hates to be thrown into the fire of hell. So whoever has these three characteristics will taste the sweetness of iman. One of them being that he loves another person only for the sake of Allah. Of these ahadith is the famous hadith. Seven are those who will be shaded by Allah on the day that there is no shade except His shade. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. And of them, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two people who only loved one another for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. They met for His sake and they departed for His sake. They had no worldly relationship. There's no business transaction. There's no partnership. Just because this person is a Muslim, just because he believes in Allah and His Messenger, they would visit each other, they would love one another, and when they departed, they would still be brothers with one another. This is one of the seven categories. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that once a man went to visit another friend, another brother of his in a different city. He went to visit a brother of his, meaning the brother in Islam, in a different city. So Allah Azza wa Jal placed an angel in his path.
The Coca-Cola Muslim Generation, presented by Abdul Rahim Green.
And this Coca-Cola symbolizes that pretty well. It symbolizes not only this attitude and this mentality and this philosophy of life, it also gives us a pretty good idea of what is the real effect of living your life in that way. Because what does Coca-Cola do for you? You drink it, it gives you almost immediate response. The immediate response is a feeling of satisfaction, gratification, and a boost of energy. This is what Coca-Cola does. You drink it, satisfaction, you get a boost of sugar from the, and a boost from the caffeine, and probably a burp soon afterwards from the gas. But the reality is that very soon you follow a downward spiral. You follow a downward spiral. And soon after, as you felt high, you soon feel a low. And in order to try and reach that high again, then you're going to take some more of this drink or some similar drink in order to reboost yourself. So in order to try and maintain yourself on this constant high, then you're drinking more and more and taking more and more. And this is the reality of the person and the people who worship their desires and worship their passions and worship themselves. In fact, it is illustrative of the whole manner in which Western society exists. Exactly that. There is no long-lasting satisfaction.
The path to paradise.
Isa alayhi salam, when he began to give when he was giving the da'wah, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he was hardly in his 20s. When he spoke from the cradle, a baby, talking about the mission. This is the value of the youth when it comes to this deen. Yahya alayhi salam, another prophet. وَأَتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيَّ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him the command when he was a young man. He was a boy. You know, before adolescence even. You know, we gave him the command. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, brothers and sisters, Ibrahim alayhi salam, all of you know the story that how he went and he destroyed the idols and he was then thrown into the fire. How old was Ibrahim alayhi salam? 16. 16. He was a teenager when all this happened. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, you know, the people say that we heard about a fata. Fata is a young person. Ibn Samak, another great scholar, one time a man came up to him and he said, and he was upset at Ibn Samak, and he said, غَدًا نَتَحَاسَبْ. Tomorrow, we're going to take an account of each other. In other words, what he was saying is that we're going to discuss how you did wrong to me and I did wrong, and we're going to sit down and we're going to go through all the points. So Ibn Samak, he told him, لَا يَا أَخِي وَاللَّهِ غَدًا نتغافر. He said, no, dear brother. Tomorrow, I swear by Allah that we will forgive each other. We will forgive each other. This is the attitude of the believer. Holds nothing in his or her heart. Holds nothing in his or her heart of any ill will, bad thoughts, bad feelings towards his brother. If we're going to strengthen our relationships. If a prophet was told to speak to the Pharaoh in kind words, then certainly we need to talk to each other in kind words. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمَتْ. Whoever believes in Allah in the Day of Judgment, let him say something good or keep quiet. Let him say something good or keep quiet. So, if we're to use soft words for the Pharaoh, then certainly for each other, we must use soft words. And kind words. And gentle words. One time, one of the Muslim leaders, his name was Al-Ma'mun, and he was the one involved in tormenting and persecuting Imam Ahmad. So one of the scholars was speaking to him, was speaking to Ma'mun, and he was kind of harsh and severe with him. So Ma'mun, he was also educated. He knew a lot about Islam.
Yes, I always share with my brothers and sisters the example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna فِي الْجَنَّةِ بَابًا يُسَمَّ الرَّيَّانِ لَا يَدْخُلُهُ إِلَّا الصَّائِمُونَ. That the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in Jannah there is a door, it's called Ar-Rayyan. Only the people who used to offer fasting a lot, used to fast a lot in this world, they will be called from that door. What's special about that door? That only the people who will be recognized as صائمون, يعني who offer a lot of siyam, a lot of fasting, during Ramadan and other than Ramadan, they will be called from that door. No one else would share with them. Other doors, like the doors of Salat, the people who well known that they used to pray a lot, they will be called from that door first. Then other people might enter from the door later on, after them. Every human being, every single human being, are خطأ, يعني he makes a lot of mistakes. He makes a lot of mistakes. خطأ وليس يخطئ. خطأ صيغة مبالغة. He makes a lot of mistakes. وخير الخطأ, and the best among the human being, are those who will repent to Allah, are those who are going back to the right, and we will leave what is wrong. In the other hadith, which is reported by Imam Muslim, من حديث أبي ذر رضي الله عنه, that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah said, إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا. You committing mistakes day and night, Allah saying, God saying, or Allah is going to say, you are committing mistakes day and night. Day and night? Yes. Allah is stating that and telling us this to clarify this fact that mistakes happen, wrongs happen, sins will be committed.
So, where is the difference?
Where is the difference?
Presented by Abdul Bari Yahya.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O ye who believe, give your response to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. And what will happen if you don't? وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And know, and let it be known, that Allah will come between a man and his heart, and that it is He whom we shall all return to, will be gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't respond, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come between a man and his heart. I mean, if you don't respond to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you right away, then maybe when it's time that you really want to respond, then you might not be able to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the mu'min. And He says, in an ayat, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears in the Qur'an, in many ayats, by the stars, by the dawn, wal-fajr, wal-shams, by the sun, and He swears by whatsoever He pleases. But in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself. And when He swears by something, it is to get our attention and to show the significance of the topic. And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself. In Surah An-Nisa, in ayat number 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ And nay, by your Lord, O Muhammad, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ You shall not believe, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ Until they make you a judge in all their disputes. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا And then they don't find any resistance whatsoever in what you have judged, and they willingly